can be and will be accomplished. And so I thank the Lord that my thumb and my fingers work together. But now let me ask you this morning, have you ever thought about how many things that the hand can do? Well, the hands are able to draw a masterpiece. The hand can drive. The hand can bind. The hand can pull down. And the hand can lift up. The hand can minister. And the hand can deny. My brothers and sisters, the hand is a useful organ of the body, because the hand is the chief executive officer of the soul. Because you see, if the soul is good, then the hand will be good. If the soul is
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, would you take your Bibles and stand on your feet over in the sanctuary and over in the overflow, if you will. And we are culminating a weekend of marriage encounter in our ministries, and our members have been thoroughly blessed by the activities and the seminars and the preaching of the word on last night by Bishop Paul S. Morton, and we are here to finish it up in the 8:30 service. We have one more, but for 8:30, this will culminate the experience here. Let me just see the hands of those who got to participate in the weekend's experience. Lift your hand. Mom and Papa here, they did. Look at the saints. God bless them. Give them a hand if you can. I know you got your Bibles in your hand. God bless them. Amen. But this is a word relevant to the church, because the word references the church as the bride of Christ, and so much that we learn, we understand how God's system works, how God's structure works. So turn them, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject of our series, Home Sweet Home, Part 2. Husbands and wives, know your part, your place, and your role. Husbands and wives, know your part, your place, and your role. It is critically, vitally important to a healthy marriage that both the husband and the wife know, first of all, their roles. But secondly, know also the role of their mate so that they do not step beyond the boundaries and the limitations that the Word of God has established, and understand that when you cross the line, there are consequences. I want us to understand and look at this because there are other verses we want to look at and deal with, but you're going to understand that there is in every marriage a role for the husband and a role for the wife to play. If those roles are not practiced properly, there is going to be chaos. Chaos. Not only must you know your role, but you must be too responsible to doing your role. Because just knowing it and don't practice it doesn't profit you. And so that means if you don't do what you know to do, then that brings conflict. So not only do you have chaos and conflict, but then if you don't practice your role, you won't get your reward, which means then that you suffer the consequences. And that usually ends up in somebody looking outside the marital bonds to get the peace that they need underneath the skin. And oftentimes we will suffer and sacrifice P-E-A-C-E for a P-I E-C-E of whatever it is you need. I know I'm right about it because a nerve has been struck already. Now I want you to see something. Christian spirit-filled marriages have a role to play. And it's so important that, again, every member of the marriage responsibility will operate in that role, because as they do so, they're going to discover how God actually blesses the marriage. And my brother and my sister, it is imperative that each partner understands that it inhibits and it hampers and it hinders the other person in their part and their place and their role if you don't do yours. You are inextricably locked together, so there cannot be a successful marriage without participating partners. I don't care how much one person wants to do the right thing. If the other doesn't do the right thing, it hinders the whole thing. And listen at this, because I want us to look at this, because we're talking about home, sweet home. Now, if your home is not a sweet home, then I want to help you understand how you can turn your sour home into a sweet home. How God would have you to do it, understanding the roles first of every person who functions in a marriage and in a relationship that God has joined together. First thing that we must understand, the Bible declares that what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, it's important to understand, as we looked in the earlier service, at how God structured the marriage situation, how God brought the whole marital experience together, and how he created woman out of man to become a helpmeet for man, so that man could become productive in the vision and in the will that God had given him. In the original design, man and woman were given dominion over the entire world. God had given man the responsibility, Adam namely, to name every creature on earth, every creeping thing, every fowl of the air, had given him that responsibility before Eve ever came on the scene. He placed Adam in a paradise experience and said, all you have to do is dress it and keep it. Everything his hands touched, it was profitable because God blessed him and gave him dominion over everything. And when Eve came on the scene, because God looked at man and said to the Godhead, it is not good for the man to be alone. After the man had seen how everything in creation that was alive had a partner to reproduce with, he then decided that he would bless man with a woman that he called a helpmeet. Now remember, the term is exclusive to her role, and it is her responsibility to help her husband meet the goal and or the vision that God has given him on planet Earth. That's why it's so important and imperative that when we pray for God to give us a mate, that we understand God will always give us a mate that fits. And if it don't fit, the world has found that out, that you ought not force it. Because if you force it 9 out of 10 times, you're going to fail. And I think everybody here who's ever been in a forced relationship or a forced marriage has come to the realization that it doesn't work if God don't join it together, because man does not have the wherewithal to put together, because he doesn't always get, or she doesn't always get, accurate and true information. Because you know folk can put on and they can be what you want them to be while they're pretending. Oh, don't y'all go looking at me like I'm making this up. How many of you have dated? I ain't talking about your mate right now. I'm talking about just dating. And for a while, that was a period when it just seemed like that person was perfect. Everything they said was perfect. Everything they did was perfect. I mean, the way they acted, responded, because they knew how to get what they wanted. And when they wanted what they got, they then started showing you the real thing. Anybody here is a witness of that? All right. Well, let me help you understand. When God joins it together, it's right before, and it's right after, and it's right during. When God, now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean it won't be any problems. But it does mean that both of you understand your roles and your responsibilities, and you function within those roles, and each one play a part that supports the other. Yeah. Now, let me just break it down on roles, because we're talking about roles now, because I think we need to understand some things. I just want to give you, before I actually go through everything, the role of the husband. First of all, the role of the husband is a role of humility. His is a position. His is a position. His is a position. It's a role and position of humility. Second thing I want you to take down as a note is his position of the head of the house is also a position of honesty. Yes, sir. Honesty, because God is entrusting him that he will do the right thing and he will be what God's called him to be, to lead his family as God leads him. But then thirdly, his position is one of honor.
Honor.
Honor. Because God made him the head of the wife and the family, just as God is head of Christ and Christ is head of the church. He gave him a position of honor, so he should be careful to utilize that position, knowing that God has orchestrated this thing and has placed him in this position, and he is accountable to God and responsible for his family. So he should walk in the honor of knowing that God has joined this thing together, and it is to God that he will give an account for it. But then secondly, let me show you the woman's position. She is made rather than a position, a vessel. And hers is a vessel, one, the woman, of weakness. Now that word more properly translated would be precious instead of weak. She is the weaker, not really weaker in the sense of the traditional Western mindset defining the word as being one that is subpar in strength, but weaker as in precious, and something like as in child versus glass. It is pressure. China, by virtue of its substance, is made weaker because it's more precious than regular old mason jar and regular glasses that you use every day. China is not used in everyday eating situations. It's precious. It's brought out for the special occasion. I wish I had somebody. So the weaker in that sense is precious. But then the woman's position is not just the weaker or precious one, but it is a willing position, because God has literally made the woman to be the helpmeet, to be the support system, to be the energizer, to be the encourager. That's why many men testify today, and the saying is true, behind every great man stands a great woman, because though the woman is behind the scene, she's the one that's winding the man up before the scene that makes him look so good in front of your eyes. And I guarantee you, any man worth his salt, look behind him, that's got to be a good woman. Somewhere behind him, even if it goes all the way back to mother. You listen at me well, because it is her role, her responsibility, to so encourage and equip him to do what God's called him to do. The last thing, a woman is a worthy vessel. Worthy, worthy, worthy vessel. Why is she worthy? One, because of her submission. Two, because of her ability to be the helpmeet that God has fixed so that the man can be complete. And so all of these things that she contributes to the relationship makes her worthy of the honor that God has bestowed upon her through her husband. That's why, and it is important, we'll see in Scripture, that a woman cannot be honored in a relationship unless her husband honors her. Listen at me well. There is not a man worth his salt that would let another woman or another man disrespect his wife. He's worse than, less than salt not to honor his own wife in any situation. It's because she does not and cannot receive honor except the honor comes from her husband, who has been honored by the Lord. And so when you understand how God brings seamlessly this thing together, one needs the other in order for the totality of the relationship and the marriage to be what God desires it to be. That's why if the husband doesn't honor the wife, not many other folk will honor her either. And so oftentimes, I mean, you don't understand how the enemy works and how the enemy comes in. But brothers, you're going to understand that if you don't honor your wife, you can hinder your own blessings, because the word says, again, her prayers are necessary. Her support is necessary. And y'all on one accord is necessary for God to bless that whole situation. And it seems more places, especially in the church, do we not understand how important honor is for that wife. Now, let me go on to the text and show you all of this that I've talked about. I want to give you an outline just in the event I didn't get a chance to get to it. Let's start back at roles, because after roles come responsibility, and after responsibility comes rewards. But listen again, let's go back to roles. First of all, I shared with you the three things that a man has as a role and the three things basically that a woman has as a role. But to better understand that and define that, is to understand what the Bible says about those roles. Let's read this again, keeping roles in mind. First of all, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the what? Fear of God. My submitting, even if I know I'm stronger than the wife is and so forth and can overpower her even in conversation as well as strength, I'm not submitting to her because I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid that God will do me something if I don't honor her and do the right thing by her. This is what he's saying here. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's a position of honor. You are head. You are top. You are the accountable one for that whole situation. Whether it sinks or it swims, it rests upon you. Yeah. And that's a lot of responsibility, and a whole lot of folk don't understand. Everybody vying to try to be the head, try to be the top, try to be number one. Along with that comes responsibility that you also must give an account for. And it's important when you look at that and understand that, again, how God says, again, how the husband is the head of the wife. Listen again. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, you see, we can't take pieces and parts of the word and put it where we want to when it fits, it makes us comfortable. You see, first of all, you can't, after you marry to a heathen, to a no good man, after you married, talk about, oh, well, we were unequally yoked and I ain't know. No, you knew he was no good. You knew he was a heathen. You knew he wasn't saved. So now that you've gotten your act together, maybe you've come into Christ, or maybe you ignored this portion in the Bible, it does not give you the right or liberty not to be submissive, as the word said, because by right and by word, he's still your husband. Now notice the word didn't say your Christian husband. Oh, I'm going to help and hurt some folk here today. Listen to what the word said. That's why it's so critically important that you be equally yoked. That's why it's so important that that man be a man of God, a man who has a heart for God, a man who reverences and respects God, because if he is fearful of God, he will do the right thing by you. That's why if he's doing what he's supposed to do by God, you don't have a problem, because all you got to do is tell God about him, who will tell him about himself. Listen at this now. Again, for the husband is the head of the wife. Doesn't say saved husband or unsaved husband, though it is written to the church and it is about saved and believing saints. It says the husband is the head of the wife, period. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Own husbands in own husbands in everything. Own. You got to obey, submit, surrender to your own husband. Now here's the clincher. In everything. Now you run risk on the one hand and reward on the other hand, depending on where your husband is spiritually. Because your role is a submissive one regardless of what side of the fence he's on. Now, some may disagree with it, but it's biblical. It's right here. And it's comforting to know that you can withdraw when you want to, because you don't want to do the right thing that the word says. But if you had done the right thing in the beginning, you would not be suffering at this point in time. But still, it does not release you from your responsibilities. It says submitting to your own husband in everything. Now it ain't over, because it started off in verse 21 by saying submitting yourselves one to another. Now, understanding these roles, it's important to understand that each one has responsibilities, and these responsibilities must be operated and enacted according to the rule that governs each one. Now, first of all, role and rule only differs by you. Role and rule only differs by you. Let me spell it for you. R-O-L-E. R-U-L-E. And when you do your role, your part, your place is guarded by and guided by rules. Well, let me just give you an example. Look in the house, if you will, because y'all getting kind of quiet now. Now, in a house, you've got a washing machine and you've got a dishwasher. Both of them are designed to wash. The washing machine has a role to play. The dishwasher has a role to play. But what happens if the dishwasher tells the washing machine, I'm sick and tired of these dishes. Won't you let me wash a few clothes and you wash a few dishes? We both in the washing business. I wish I had somebody. Is this making any sense to you? What would happen to your clothes after a washing cycle in the dishwasher, and what would happen to your dishes in a cycle in the dishwasher? Now, I don't doubt that both of them might come out clean, but they won't come back out in the same condition that they were meant to come out in. And a whole lot of us don't understand that we cannot switch roles and expect the same or the right results. That's why the husband has got to know what the head ought to do, and the wife ought to know what the supporting role and the supporting cast must do. And neither one can switch roles and think that the script's going to go out and end up like it ought to end up. The best that a wife can get in terms of a play is best supporting actor. I'm trying to tell you what the word says. Not because that's what God designed her role to be, a supporting cast. But the problem is you got some husbands who don't know how to act. Literally, who don't know how to act. And so they can't perform the role that God has called them, and so that creates chaos and so forth and so on. Again, understand that everybody must not only know their role, but operate in their role so that the other can function and flow seamlessly through the plan that God has for marriage. Look, again, I want you to understand something else. Let's go back to the text. It says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen at that now. I know the sisters are happy we've gotten to verse 25 now. Now, loving your wife is one thing. But loving your wife even as Jesus loved the church is a whole nother thing. Because you move, you grow, you escalate, you elevate to a whole nother love for your wife. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let's just look at the text and understand some things that come out of the role of the husband for loving his wife. Because the wife's role is a submissive role, but we're dealing with the husband because he's the head. But you've got to understand that all of these roles work together, and they work together for God's glory, but for the marriage good. Now listen at this. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and, conjunction, gave himself for it. Now in this word and or phrase, gave himself for it, gives us to know that when a husband who has been given a wife by God, who has been revealed by God, the wife or the helpmeet that he has in this life and on this side of glory, his responsibility is to love her totally. Totally. I'm going to take you over to another place where I want to share some things with you, because again, both roles work together, and the marriage cannot function and flow, and home cannot be sweet home unless everybody's doing their part. Now listen at this. It says, again, as Christ gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now listen at this, because this is important, because when you understand how deep this love is that Jesus has for the church, you automatically begin to understand that the church isn't perfect at its conception. You're going to find out that the church isn't perfect even in its continuation. You're going to find out that the church don't get it together till the end. Well, what is this saying? That A husband has got to understand, as Jesus loved the church with all of its imperfections and with all of those things that were not right and not yet complete and not yet what it ought to be, he loved the church so much so that he sanctified it, set it apart from everything else and every other thing and every other person, and he committed his love just to that church. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you talked about sanctify, and it talks in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it. There again, you got to understand, it's the husband's role in the relationship. That wife might not be what she's supposed to be, but the husband's job is to sanctify her, separate her from everything else, and he's got to work on her till he cleanses her mind, her thinking, her understanding, all about the things that his role is, her role is, their roles are together concerning the word, because it is his role in the word to sanctify and cleanse her as Christ does the church. But what am I saying? Because you know, women are